Let's read together 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 28. In this last section of 1 Thessalonians, we have further exhortations for living life as a Christian, as well as the final greetings of the letter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord Jesus that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's begin this last section of 1 Thessalonians with some background notes. Paul began this first letter to the Thessalonians with a reference to the grace of God. And now here we see in chapter 5 that he ends the letter with this same theme. Look back at chapter 1, verse 1. Grace and peace to you. And the last verse of the book, chapter 5, verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The Christian faith is grace from beginning to end. What a great truth for us to appreciate. Notice from verse 27 that Paul commands that this letter be read publicly in the church at Thessalonica. The content of 1 Thessalonians was important for the believers of that first century. And it's just as important for believers today. Remember, the theme of 1 Thessalonians is the return of the Lord. Notice from Paul's closing here that he desired the Thessalonian believers to pray for him. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Prayer is so important. You know, recently I had a Christian say to me, don't bother praying for me, Dave. Spend your time praying for more important things. Well, that attitude may sound humble, but it's certainly not biblical. It's not wrong to ask for prayer. In fact, it's necessary. I'll take all the prayer I can get. How about you? All right. Of course, we all have to be involved in praying as well, not just asking for prayer, but involved in praying. Verse 17. Now, in verses 16 through 22, we have several do's and don'ts for the Christian life. We're going to save these for our practical application. And our two doctrinal points from this last section of chapter 5 will come from verse 23. But just one more background note before we move on to these doctrinal points. Verse 26 says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Is this exhortation good for today as well as in the first century? Well, why not? But notice it is a holy kiss. And remember, in the first century, it was a kiss on the cheek, and most studies indicate that it was primarily used for men greeting men and women greeting women. It was the outward expression of Christian love in that culture. So whatever communicates holy Christian love in our culture today would be biblical, including the holy kiss. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, complete sanctification is God's will for the believer. Complete sanctification is God's will for the believer. First part of verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. To sanctify means to set apart for God's holy use. In fact, the word sanctification comes from the same root word as holy and saint. Therefore, some Christians have wrongly taken verse 23 to be a proof text that Christians can become sinless in this life. The Bible does not teach such a doctrine, neither here nor anywhere else. In fact, 1 John 1:8, which is written to Christians, says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The confusion arises because the New Testament uses the concept of sanctification in several ways. There is positional sanctification, There is perfect sanctification and there is progressive sanctification. What's the difference? All Christians are sanctified positionally in God's sight the moment they believe. Paul told the Corinthian believers that they were saints and sanctified. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul writes, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." Now, as you know, the Corinthian believers were not very saintly, right? But they were set apart and positionally sanctified. This is true of all believers. And then there is perfect sanctification. Perfect sanctification will be our condition in heaven when we have our new sinless resurrected bodies. Philippians 3:21 says that our bodies will be conformed to Christ's glorious body. Meanwhile, there is progressive sanctification. That's what's in view here in verse 23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." God is at work in us right now, setting us apart from sin and self and the world. We will never become sinless in this life, but we should sin less because of progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification continues right up until we go to heaven. Philippians 1:6, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Also verse 24 right here, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Complete sanctification is God's will for the believer. Doctrinal point number 2, complete preservation is God's will for the believer. Complete preservation is God's will for the believer. The end of verse 23. "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God's will is for our complete persons, body, soul, and spirit, to be preserved blameless. Notice that we are tripartite beings, body, soul, and spirit. Now, we know what the body is, but what about the soul and spirit? They are not identical. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. The soul has to do with our emotions and desires and propensities. The spirit includes our God consciousness and our moral consciousness. Notice, by the way, how spirit is put first from God's perspective here in verse 23. "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless." God's will is that our whole person, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless. Our spirits, souls, and bodies can be defiled by evil thoughts and lusts and actions. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit." 1 Peter 2:11 exhorts us to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And Romans 6:19 says that we should not present the members of our bodies as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness as before, but as slaves of righteousness. Romans 6:19. Only is this preservation possible when there is a steady diet of the Word of God and prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, along with the fellowship and accountability to other believers. But it is possible because God is faithful. Verse 24, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Progressive sanctification and complete preservation. It does work, folks. It really does. Complete preservation is God's will for the believer. What about practical application from this last section of 1 Thessalonians? Let's practice the do's and don'ts of Scripture. Let's practice the do's and don'ts of Scripture. You know, most Christians have some kind of list of do's and don'ts for their lives as believers. This is okay as long as the list is from Scripture. Unfortunately, some Christians have lists that are based more on tradition or some legalistic idea, and that can be dangerous as well as unbiblical. But here in verses 16 through 22, we have a biblical list of do's and don'ts. So, subpoint A, do rejoice always. Verse 16, Rejoice always. You know, this is the shortest verse in the New Testament, that is, in the Greek language. Yes, Jesus wept, John 11:35, is the shortest verse in the English Bible. We may not always be happy, but even in times of sorrow, we can rejoice, because joy in Christ is independent of circumstances. We know that He controls all circumstances. Subpoint B, do pray without ceasing. Verse 17, the adverb without ceasing here was used in the Greek language for a continual cough. Now that's an interesting way to think about praying without ceasing. It's not prayer without interruption, but it's continual prayer. While we're working, pray while you're driving, while we're playing golf, pray without ceasing. It's the idea of being in an attitude of prayer, continual prayer. Subpoint C, do give thanks in everything. Verse 18, give thanks in everything, not for everything, because not everything is good. You don't thank God for evil, but we know from Romans 8:28 that God works everything together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Therefore, we can give thanks in all circumstances. Subpoint D, don't quench the Spirit. Verse 19, the work of the Holy Spirit can be quenched in the life of the believer, including your life, and in the life of the church, including this church. How? By sin, by unbiblical tradition, by man-made legalistic rules, by disunity, by lack of Christian love, and many other things. Is it possible that there's someone here today that's quenching the work of the Holy Spirit? Subpoint E, don't despise prophecies. Verse 20, to prophesy today means to speak forth the word of God as recorded in Scripture. Now, you may not personally like the style of some preachers and teachers of God's word, but to criticize them wrongly would be to despise prophecy. Don't scoff at those who speak the truth. Subpoint F, do test all things and hold fast what is good. Verse 21, don't jump on every bandwagon that comes along because it looks good. Test it by the word of God to see if it's of God. Think of some TV ministries in this connection. And don't reject something just because you don't like it at first. Test it first by the word of God. Then hold fast what is good. Did you know that there were some conservative Christians that rejected Emmaus Bible College when it first got started? They thought it was too progressive. But Emmaus Bible College has been tested by time and Scripture and been shown to be of God. So do test all things and hold fast what is good. Subpoint G, do abstain from every form of evil. Verse 22, evil comes in a lot of different forms, including thoughts as well as activities. And that would include even the appearance of evil, as the King James Version renders it. When in doubt, don't is a good rule of thumb for the believer. Let's practice the do's and don'ts of Scripture.